apparently CW. Not the water closet, says one of our men on the inside there. You know, really, there is no program in Portland radio that is listened to by more people in Portland media than this one. I mean, that's it. Since we've been gone, the people who actually work in radio and television and the newspaper, they've had nothing to listen to.
Well, we pull back the curtain on reality.
Yes. Yes, it is. We show you the seamy underbelly. See, you got to keep those glasses on, so you look really good in those.
Why, thank you.
You look good. You look pretty.
I know, that's a little creepy.
Well, what did Jonathan Nicholas call it? That's our Dave and Maddie vibe. Did you see that in the speaking of journalists in the Oregonian? Wait, hold on. Where is it? I have,
We're in Billboard magazine, too.
We're in Billboard. We're on the front page of R&R, too.
Yeah.
And they just call you Sarah X. They don't call you Sarah X Dillon.
Well, at least that's better than Sarah Emerson.
Sarah.
I saw one that called me Sarah Emerson. I can't remember where.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? So, no, we've got this. And Jonathan Nicholas, and I do want to say, for the record, it's a great story. I have no complaints about the story. I mean, I thought he hated me. I thought he hated everything. I thought he was like Carlin, where he just loathed everything. But Jonathan Nicholas in the Oregonian, it was in Friday's paper. On the front page of Living Safe, did a really nice piece for us. And he interviewed me for like 90 minutes. I feel so sorry for anybody that has to interview me because I'm just a nonstop torrent of crap.
I know, and you're such a talker. He's well, go.
What do I do? Well, I've done Mark Baumgarten from the lab was here. He and I have talked for, we've talked for 36 hours or something. So,
and it's enough for a miniseries.
Jonathan Nicholas wrote this piece, and he did the best he could, where he tried to like, because they don't record anything. They, you know, he was just like trying to flow it with his hand, you know, just trying to write
shorthand.
It. Seriously, yeah. And it's like, I don't know how anybody could keep up with me. And then he retrofitted it into a Q&A. He said, hey, in 2004, you were billed as an Edgy X motor mouth. Can you assure us that sort of thing won't happen again? And then I said that there was no one sentence. We've tried for so long to come up with a one sentence description of the show. He notes that the sales department now bills us as a caffeinated, hyper-literate cocktail of pop culture and current events.
I like that.
Now, to be fair, I wrote that. So, to be fair, when you see the sales department calling us a caffeinated, hyper-literate cocktail of pop culture and current events, I will take the blame right now that I wrote that because I didn't want them calling me an edgy Gen X motor mouth again. And I figured anything was better than nothing. Anyway, but so then he's got this. Listen to this. He did listen to two questions in a row. Rick, and this is one where he did just ask me this live. He said, complete this sentence. Your producer, Sarah X. Dillon, is the thinking man's blank.
Huh.
So, Tim, when I say Sarah Dillon is the thinking man's, what do you say?
Genius.
I think that's redundant. Oh, I don't think
and
that's...
And untrue.
That's, well, you know, I'm just saying... All right, so you're welcome. So your producer, Sarah X. Dillon, she's the thinking man's... Sarah, how would you complete that sentence? We'll do a couple of calls here. How would you complete this sentence, people? You, the people. How would you complete this sentence for me? Sarah X. Dillon is the thinking man's blank. 503-733-2970. 503, and I'll just take those live. 503-733-2970. Complete this sentence. Sarah X. Dillon is the thinking man's blank. And there's a specific reason that I'm asking this question. There is not just to amuse myself. There is a reason that I'm asking this question. So complete that sentence. Yes, Sarah X. Dillon is the thinking man's blank. And the number is 503-733-2970. Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Rick's back.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Yes. Who's this?
And he just posed a question about Sarah Dillon.
Who is this?
My name's Todd.
Todd? So complete the sentence.
Sarah Dillon, muse.
The thinking man's muse?
Yeah.
All right, that's good. Hold on. Thinking man's muse. All right, see, that's not what I said, but that's a good answer, though. The thinking man's muse. Todd, are you spreading the word about the return of the show?
I just turned it on. I was going to grab some lunch, and you're back.
See, everybody just like happens to turn on the radio. We're here. God bless you. Well, you got to...
Hey, hallelujah.
Thank you, sir. And so do me a favor. You tell two people today.
I will tell two people that the non-caffeinated thinking man's, whatever it was, I'll listen to it and I'll report that.
All right, Todd.
Okay, whatever the sales department says.
Okay, Todd, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Okay. I don't know what's going on there. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Diana from Dantown.
Diana, complete the sentence. Sarah X. Dillon, the thinking man's blank.
Barbarella.
Oh. Okay, see, these are all much better answers than I gave, you bastards. All right, hold on. Barbarella.
Because she's out of this world.
Oh, you see. Yep.
Oh, thanks, Diana.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before you go,
yes.
on the video of the radio, You know, you're missing a great marketing opportunity. Think about this. They always have the, you know, the videotapes of the fireplaces, you know, for Christmas time.
Just sell a videotape of a radio playing the show.
That would be great.
That's a great idea.
We could sell
the Old Town Radio Show.
That's a great idea. Yeah, completely. We could sell that to the CW. They're going to be needing some crap. That's a great idea. Thank you, Dan.
Of course.
All right, there you go. Hi. Okay, well, never mind. Well, fine. I don't want to hear your observations anyway. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
This is Chuck.
All right, Chuck, complete the sentence. Sarah Dillon is the thinking man's what?
Daria.
Well, that's kind of a mean thing to say about Daria, isn't it? Doesn't that imply that Daria is
yeah,
for...
Yeah, I mean...
Doesn't imply that Daria is for...
There's no about Daria.
I'm not going to get in the middle. I'm not getting in the middle of anything like that. I don't want to... I like Daria a lot.
How about Kennedy?
Okay, there you go. Thinking man's Kennedy. I'd give you that. You remember Kennedy, Sarah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. All right, there you go. Okay, here's first and foremost, I'm not going to give a anything about Daria because we're big fans of hers.
Me either.
And she's a big fan of us. She likes our show. She's always supported us. She was very gracious to me when we got fired. And I know that we share a lot of fans. And, you know, she's beautiful, smart, all that. So I'm not going to... You got problems with her. That's your problem with her. I'm not going to pile onto that. All right, so here's what I said, though. Complete the sentence. Your producer, Sarah Dillon, is the thinking man's, and I said, babe, which...
Rick.
I didn't think, okay, but I said that because I told him at the time, Sarah, I said, please don't use that. Give me a time to think of something else. And then I thought later of, like, whatever. I can't even think of anything else now. And I told him, I said, I know that's a dumb answer. But clearly, like, that's what he wanted me to say, obviously.
Does he want to think that there's sexual tension here?
Listen to the next question. Listen to the next question. This is Jonathan Nicholas, and again, it's a great article. It's not a critique. I'm just making the observation here. He says, Rick, you and Sarah, and Sarah, you may not even get this reference. He says, you and Sarah, you're so David and Maddie.
I was just thinking that.
See, and do you know the Dave and Maddie reference?
No.
Yep. Moonlighting.
All right, let's do here. Well, let's do these. Rick Emerson shows us.
This is Steve.
Steve, okay, two things. A, complete the sentence. Sarah Dillon, thinking man's what?
Guilty pleasure.
I don't know. I feel like these. Okay, now can you explain to Sarah what Dave and Maddie means?
I don't know who Dave and Maddie is or are.
All right. Well, never mind. But you answered half the question, so that's good in my book, sir.
I did have one question about Sarah Dillon.
Yes.
I thought she, like, escaped the sinking ship before it went down and, like, was off on TV or something.
Well...
How did she get fallen back in, you know... I mean, not that... I'm glad to have you back. I love your show, but... How did she get back in?
See, and it's interesting because we talked about this on Monday. This will clearly have
I'm
to
sorry,
be...
sorry, I missed Monday.
No, it's fine. We were just talking today about how we got to update the FAQ on the website. So we are going to have to... We're going to have to update the frequently asked questions on the website for questions that people are going to have kind of... For questions that we're going to get asked a lot.
Should we get the short answer now?
So the short answer is that she did not escape the sinking ship of Entercom. When she went over to Coin, they were so angry at Entercom that she went to Coin that they fired her from my show, too, as punishment. So
they wouldn't let me stay.
So when she went over to Coin to do TV in the mornings, they were so angry at her that they wouldn't let her continue to do my show. So as punishment, they forced her off my show.
Okay.
And so now we are here back together again.
So why isn't she on Coin anymore?
She is on Coin. She was on Coin this morning.
I didn't catch that. Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right,
there you go. All right, let's do one more here, and then we're going to have to...
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Rick.
Rick, so finish this sentence. Sarah Dillon is the thinking man's what?
Rick, don't be mad at me. I'm going to just say this broad.
No, that's fine. Thank you. I'm not the one who's going to be mad. I don't care.
I love Sarah, too, but I just wanted to say this, Rick.
Okay.
My God, where you guys been?
Dude, I've been sitting on my couch. I haven't been hard to find.
Man, right? It's your boy Leland, man. I've been Rick. I turned the radio to 970 one day, and they got the Comedy Channel on. I'm like, that's probably nice and fine and dandy, man, but y'all missing out on my boy, man. Rick, I'm just going to say this, dude. You are the bomb, and I'm loving the fact that you're back on the radio, baby.
Well, thank you. Now, are you spreading the word? Are you telling people?
Come on, man. I had a heart attack when you was off the radio. Come on, bro.
Excellent.
I'm back with you, all right?
Excellent. You spread the word. You call us anytime.
I got you.
All right, man.
That'll make a great promo.
All right, there you go. Attention production department. There you go. All right, so we'll bring the curtain down on this whole Sarah Dillon thing. So I said babe. Because I couldn't think of anything better. So as I now know, there's like 15 things that are better. So, well,
So these are your actual answers.
Do we need? Yeah, they're my actual answers. So do we need the break?
Did we take our
20?
Yeah, we took the 20.
Well, let's take the 40 now.
Okay.
Because Baumgarten's supposed to be calling us about corpses.
You know, Roop said that he was having a hard time getting through, but then Laura could call.
Bitches. So, yeah. All right, and we missed our Tim. We missed Tim's 30 news.
Oh, that's all right.
So let's break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley, perhaps Gary Baumgarten. And in the meantime, here's what I need. I need, because I don't want to do it. I need someone to explain to Sarah what it means when they say Rick and Sarah are so Dave and Maddie. So that's what the article says. Rick and Sarah, so Dave and Maddie. I need someone to call in who can explain that to Sarah. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show, part of the CBS radio family in downtown Portland. You stay there.
No, I wanted to stand. I've been sitting for too long.
To Rick Emerson Show, it's 503-733-2970, live and local right here in downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming by. We got Likas coming up at 3, Phil Henry at 7, et cetera, so on and so forth. It's our third day back. Thank you for joining us. 503-733-2970 here with Sarah X. Dillon, Tim Riley. Coming up tomorrow, Barfly Magazine's Jen Lane will be in the his house, as they say, and so forth. And I think Dally from filmfever.org is going to be back at some point. We'll figure that out. So, all right. So, still to come, we got this musical tribute to Tim Riley. We'll go through the unemployment box, and we got the top five bad songs that I found randomly sitting in a box of crap that I took home when Entercom ill-advisedly fired us last April 21st. That's it. We'll talk about what to do and what not to do when you're unemployed as well. And I don't know where the hell Gary Baumgarten went. Maybe he's asleep. I called yesterday, and they said that he takes a long nap. Between, like, noon and 1 our time, or between 11 and 1. So it's quite possible that he's asleep. All right, so just to close this out, we were talking about this article that Jonathan Nicholas wrote. He said, complete this sentence. Sarah X. Dillon's the thinking man's whatever. And I said babe because I didn't. And I thought everybody would have said that in the same situation. And apparently I was really wrong about that. Rick, Sarah Dillon's the thinking man. Sarah Dillon is the thinking man's perfect woman. Do we get the... Wait.
Oh.
Wait, hold on. Let me say it again. Sarah Dillon is the thinking man's perfect woman.
Aww.
There you go. Thank you. Rick Emerson is the... See, I can't read this. I can't. Can't read it. No, you don't want to hear it. It has to do with tense and pitching. You don't want to know. Rick.
Camping.
Yes. Some camping companion. See, this is why I have to stop this particular line. Sarah Dillon is the thinking man's hottie who wears a thong we'd all like to snap. See, that's what I'm saying. So that's why I can't. I'm just have to move on. But his follow-up question was, your producer, Sarah Dillon, blah, blah, blah. You and Sarah are so Dave and Maddie. And so let's go to Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. So can you explain to Sarah what this means? You and Sarah are so Dave. Can you tell Sarah what this means? You and Sarah, Rick, are so Dave and Maddie.
Dave and Maddie. Dave and Maddie was two detectives from the Moonlighting TV show about in the 80s sometime. One of about 840 shows of the same type that had an unlikely pairing of people who got together to make a detective agency work. The sexual tension was such that everybody wanted them to get together. They constantly fought. But when they finally did get together, it really tanked the show.
And everybody, and so to this day, Dave and Maddie, to talk about something doing a Dave and Maddie is sort of like saying it jumps the shark. Dave and Maddie is when a couple, where the whole drive of the show comes from the couple, you wanting them to be together, but then they're never together. And then when they finally hook up, the show always goes in the tank. The show always goes in the crapper. And
so they're any good afterwards.
Yeah, and they call it pulling a Dave and Maddie. And that's what happens. And it's like on the West Wing, they did this with Donna Moss and Josh Lyman forever. They did it with Casey McCall and what's her name, Dana, on the Sports Night, Dana Whitaker. And it's like as soon as the couple gets together, the show sucks because there's no more tension, blah, 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 blah. So it was... Now, the full context of this question, see, here's in the article, it only says, Rick, you and Sarah are so David Matty. And my response that he puts down is, moonlighting, us, and like that, just a two-word response. In reality, when we were doing this interview, he went on and on about this so-called sexual tension that exists on the show, which I don't see at Sarah's giving me the look. This, Sarah's actually eating lasagna, and she just turned and like did a head swivel to give me the look. That's not coming from me. That's coming from Jonathan Nicholas, you understand, who claims that he claims the show is rife with sexual tension.
I agree with that, and I always wondered, God, I wonder how Laura puts up with all this.
You're high. You're completely high. There's nothing like that. And I, okay, yeah, all right, thanks. All right, there you go. Thank you. I appreciate that. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
This is Orion.
All right, right. So, Ryan, what were you calling about today?
The David Addison or whatever it is.
That's it. It was Dave Addison and Maddie. God, what the hell was her name? They worked at the Blue Moon Detective Agency. That's all I can remember. And it was about the same time that there was Heart to Heart and Remington Steel.
Yeah, yeah, like, it was right before Remington Steel. I remember my mom used to torture me with it.
Yeah, because moms loved Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this question. In your objective opinion as a Rick Emerson listener, do you feel that there is some element of sexual tension between Sarah and myself on the show?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I mean, I would have to say that you kind of try to bring it to a level, but she kind of puts it down.
Okay. Well, fair enough. All right. No, that's an accurate assessment. All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. There you go. All right. So I think he's there's nothing there. I think it's one of those things where he was. That's where the news guy's trying.
He's fishing.
He's trying to generate this story.
Yeah.
Or he's waiting for me to go. I thought I burned those receipts. Like he's totally waiting for you to blurt something out.
Oh, you were talking about how we went to Fantasy Video yesterday.
Yeah, but that was
just shopping.
That was
yes.
That was innocent.
For necessities.
Who hasn't done that with a coworker? You know what we should do? Because we no longer work at Entercom, we should sexually harass all the people at Entercom that we wanted to when we were there.
I don't think there's anybody left when we were there.
Oh, yeah, like the person that you were having the dreams about making out with them in the phone booth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
So can we name who that is now?
We'll talk about that later. No.
Okay.
We shouldn't do it. We should talk about it later.
She's not your coworker anymore.
Let's move on.
Maybe it could really happen.
Let's talk about it now. Let's talk about it later.
Sure.
Okay, so we missed Baumgarten. We missed News 1:30 News. It's now 1:45. So let's do this now. Let's talk about... When's our next break? We have a 50?
We have plenty of time.
So let's talk a little bit about unemployment. Because Sarah was only... You were sort of unemployed. You worked at Coin, but you got off work at like 8 a.m.
Yeah,
right?
I'm done with work. Well, until this job, I'm done with work at 8, which is just depressing because I'm done with my work week, but then I can't really go out and do anything because all my friends and my boyfriend are at work, and then...
So you're still getting up. You're still getting up at 4 in the morning.
I get up at 4 in the morning, done at 8, then, yeah.
Do you have time to go home? We just go home and feed the dog?
Now I have time to just go home and feed the dog.
You feed the dog and then you come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're here till 3. So you're just, what time are you going to bed now?
Last time I went to bed at like 10.
See,
that's reasonable.
How can you do that though and not have it wear you down?
I just had to train myself. It's either, you know, go to bed at 7 or teach my body how to live on 5 hours of sleep.
Oh, man. And I did this last night. I did this whole thing where I was, and you know how you make deals with, like, Jerry Seinfeld, and I'm not a guy who likes to recite, like, you know, Like a stand-up comic once said, but he did say this really, really smart thing one time. It was totally true. And Seinfeld talked about how there was the two U's. There was morning guy and nighttime guy. And, like, nighttime guy didn't care about anything, didn't care you had to get up. Because nighttime guy was like, that's not my problem, that's morning guy's problem. You know? And, like, morning guy would be like, oh, God, I gotta get up at 5. You know, the alarm goes off and you want to kill yourself. And morning guy would vow that he was going to go to sleep early. But then by the time nighttime comes around, it's nighttime guy again. He's like, screw that, I'm staying up, you know? And it's completely true.
And a nighttime girl was out at the bar till like 9:30.
Oh, see, last night, and I've been accumulating what scientists call a sleep deficit, which is every night I get a little less sleep than I need. And so by the end of the week, you're like six hours in the hole. And so last night, I swore to sweet heavenly Christ that I was going to go to bed at like 9. Because you do that, like when you get up in the morning and you're exhausted, you make those crazy problems. Like, I'm going to get 14 hours of sleep tonight. I'm going to come home and go to sleep at 6 p.m. And it's like, but you never do. So last night is like 9 o'clock, and then I realize that last night is Tuesday, and the shield is on. And it's the penultimate episode. Next week is the season finale. Last night was the second to last episode. And it's like the whole, and this... I'll talk more about this on Friday with Peter Carlin, but this has been the best season of The Shield ever, and that show has gotten better and better and better and better. I didn't think they could top the fourth season, But they have. The fifth season has been the, it's one of the best seasons of a television show I've ever seen. I would put it up there with the second season of The West Wing. I'd put it up there with the second season and third season of Buffy. I mean, it's fantastic. But it's FX, so the show runs long. I mean, it doesn't even start till 10 o'clock. And so it's like it's 10:20 and I'm starting to watch it on the TiVo and you're watching the show, but you're just hating yourself. Because you're like, oh, this is... Like, every minute I spend watching Vic Mackey beat a suspect with a phone book is like a minute that I'm not going to get to sleep. And, you know, but you don't want to not watch it because then you know that you're going to hear a spoiler. Or everybody... Or you'll go to work, especially in this job, and everybody will be talking about it. Did you see The Shield last night when the thing happened? And you'll be like, I can't not know. And so it sounds stupid to say that I got to watch TV as show prep, but I do. It's like I have to. It's part of the job. And so it's, and then so I get up, and the alarm goes off this morning. And you do that thing where when the alarm goes off and you dream that you answer it and get up. And so, like, the alarm rings and it's all like, and I turn it off. I reach over and I turn off the alarm. And then I dream that I turned off the alarm and got up. And so in my dream, I'm all, like, in the shower, like, whoa, great start to the day. I've already got my breakfast made. Going to be to work with 3 hours, you know. And I'm dreaming this whole thing that I've gotten out of bed. And so I'm, like, in my dream, I'm, like, making my lunch. I'm, like, I'm sure glad I'm not running behind. I'm sure glad it don't, you know, and then you wake up and it's like 8:30 or whatever, and you just completely overslept and we're all screwed.
What were we? I don't know. I've been watching Sarah Dillon East.
I'm sorry, oh, I'm hungry.
Yeah, so, yeah, it looks so, pretty good.
It's really good.
So Sarah was like half unemployed. You feel a little giddy today?
I can't do this. I'm so tired. I can only do one job at a time.
So, but you were like half unemployed. Tim, you were totally unemployed.
Oh, totally, yes.
I was totally unemployed for the most part. Sarah and I did a few things during the off time, which we'll talk about another time. I'm going to have this feature called What the Hell Were We Doing? And we'll maybe get to that tomorrow. But I was basically unemployed the entire time. And so I've gotten emails from people. I've got some listeners that have sent me emails, and they're saying, I am currently unemployed. Like, can you give me some tips? Can you tell me what to do? How should I handle my unemployment? What should I do? What should I not do? So, I mean, Tim, if you want to, I mean, you had the whole, you actually went so far as you were at a temp agency, right?
You know, the week before we found out, I went to a temp agency, and I took all the tests, and this temp agency was, I mean, these people didn't even have cubicles, so you know that you're going to be sent.
It's like a slave galley.
Yeah. And this is at tennis court of all places, so I was told to sit there and watch the safety video and then take a test, and then you will be given an assignment. Well, I figure, well, why should I watch a safety video anyway? It's boring. Well, I didn't pay attention. There was a test after it, and I didn't get one question right.
Imagine failing the test at a temp agency.
Yeah.
What were some of the questions? First of all, when you say, Tim, that you went to a temp agency, yeah. Now, was this for an office temping job, or what kind of jobs did this agency put people in?
This was for a job relating to a real estate agency.
Okay.
Because I do have a license to do that.
All right. And so what sort of safety? I don't know. What safety questions?
Well, there were people going to the tops of ladders carrying boxes over their heads.
carrying buckets of boiling oil.
Uh-huh.
Carrying huge buckets of thumbtacks and glue. Uh-huh.
Then there was somebody else driving a forklift. I mean, this is boring stuff.
Driving a forklift with a blindfold after drinking a fifth of whiskey.
So there were questions relating to these scenes, which I wasn't paying any attention to because I figured, well, this is just wasting my time.
How can I fail the test? I'm Tim Riley.
Then they go, so the video concludes, and they go, oh, thank goodness, I can go. And then he goes, please key ahead to take the test.
There will now be a test. Grab the number two pencil.
And they go, oh, my God.
So
I thought I was being tricked. So I picked the obvious answers. The obvious answers were all wrong. Every single one was wrong. Then I was told, okay, go home, we'll call you.
And then they never called, did they?
They never called, and thank goodness you called.
God, that was right about the same time that I got, we've got a job. I swear to God, someone's going to hire us. When I was in Utah, they fired us in Utah, of course. They replaced us with Radio Disney. And so we had had, this is how badly life sucked in Utah. And when you were fired, and I'm not talking about, like, our good friends or our listeners, because the listeners stayed with us. They stuck around. Our good friends did. But you know what I'm talking about. And this is not just when you work in radio. This is like any job. That when you get fired, a lot of the people that you thought were your friends, they just vanish. Gone.
And the phone never rings.
A lot of it's like being a young married couple with a 6-month-old. No one comes to visit. And so a lot of the people you think are going to help you out, yeah, they're not there for you. A lot of the people are like, dude, if you ever need anything, I mean anything. And then you call them, I need something. No. You know, and then they're gone. And you leave messages. No one calls you back. You send emails. You never get a reply.
Or else you get plenty of offers from startup companies, which is code for you'll never be paid a dime.
Would you be interested in working in a commission-only sales capacity? So when I worked in Utah, it was the same thing where we had this very popular radio show. This is a decade ago now, 10 years ago. God, but we had this very popular radio show, and it was 10 years ago this year, actually. We went off the air. We were replaced by Radio Disney. And one of the companies I had done ads for, like I had been on the air pimping their, whoring their business. I mean, it was a temp service. I had done live reads as part of my show, and I won't name the temp service, but it's a company. I hate to say this, but it's a company you would all recognize, but I don't want to say they are. But it's a temp service, and they have offices everywhere. And I did live reads for them as part of, you know, the Rick Emerson Show. I'm like, hey, Rick Emerson Show, let me talk to you about blah, blah, blah temp service. Hey, if you're out of work, they'll really do everything they can. You know, Steve Blank, who runs it, is a really great guy. We've talked. He's a pal. He'll really hook you up. If you need a job, they'll take care of you. We're proud to have him as a sponsor on the Rick Emerson Show, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward like 3 months, I get fired. I have no money. I go to the temp agency, and I talk to Steve Blank. I'm like, hey, hook a brother up. And he's like, yeah, I'll get right on that. Never called me back. Didn't call me back. Is to me an email? Nothing. The guy, I brought him his business for like a year and a half. I did his commercials. Wouldn't give me a job.
That's because the good jobs do not really exist.
No, it's a total bait and switch.
Yeah.
It's a total.
Sit there and watch the safety film. There will be a quiz at the end. There will be a quiz at the end, ladies and gentlemen.
So that's it. So much it changed in the unemployment system since I was fired. So I didn't know you could register online like that. So I went, man, that's the first thing. That's the first thing I did is I went home and I registered for my unemployment. What else did I do? I was unemployed. And the one thing I will tell you is, and it's so hard to take your own advice because I had trouble taking this advice. But as I always tell people, as soon as that unemployment ends and you get a job, you're immediately going to have a sort of regret that you don't have that free time anymore. Because on the one hand, you're like, yeah, I got a job. And then you're like, oh, I got to get up at 6 a.m. tomorrow and go to some goddamn office for that, you know, and you're kind of bitter about it. So what I would suggest is that you have a schedule for yourself. I know it sounds retarded, but you have a schedule where, like, every day, like, you look for work between, like, 9 and 3, or, like, 10 and 4 or something.
That'll last, like, a day.
Yes. And then you'll just give up. Then you'll just be beaten down. And then you'll just start every day with the opening of a bottle. But seriously, block out time during which you just slack and do a whole lot of nothing. Because here's the thing, because once 4:30 comes around and like once 3 comes out on a Friday, no one's calling you back. You don't do what I did, which is to send some resume to like, you know, to a radio station or whatever, and then you're sitting there by the phone at like 4:58 on a Friday.
Is this thing working? Let me count the bars. Now I get all 4 bars. I thought it was only 2. Let me shake the phone a little bit. I got all 4 bars. I think I'll listen to more iTunes samples and kill another 8 hours.
Completely. And like having people call my... Honey, can you call my cell phone? I don't think it's working.
Oh, it's working.
Oh, God. It's so true. It's so true. And it's like Laura would want to go out and do... She'd get home from work. And she want to go out and do something on a Friday at 4:30. And I'm like, no, we can't leave the house. Somebody might call. You know, well, it's 4:58, Rick. Yeah, there's 2 minutes left in business hours. They might be calling me back any minute now. They're never calling you back. What's the exit? Once it's 3 o'clock on a Friday, you're not getting called.
June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January.
Totally.
At least there's that tax return coming this year.
It's like in the noir films when the calendar pages are just falling off in rapid motion. Oh, God. And you start to do everything really slowly, so it takes up. It's like prison time. You start to accomplish all your tasks really slowly, so it fills as much time as possible. I better read every article in the New York Times today. I better read every single thing in USA Today.
I'm going to listen to the Hot 100 from 1967 and work my way all the way up to this year. But I can't afford to order anything.
Oh, yeah, we should list the worthless things we accomplished in all of our time.
Well, let's do that when we come back,
okay,
shall we?
Okay, yeah.
Oh, good Christ. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back with, we'll check in with Tim Riley at the City Desk. Oh. Don't go anywhere. We will continue. This is the Rick Emerson Show, employed at last by CBS Radio. You stay there. Nothing for 11 months.
What? I gotta go there and I gotta read stuff for 3 hours?
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 as we enter the third dripping hour of the Rick Emerson Show. Like us coming up at 3, Phil Henry at 7, by the way. Said like old times. All right. We gotta get an intern. We gotta get somebody here to be answering these phones for you. Speaking of interns, when we do the FAQ, we may or may not get to that today. When we update the FAQ, we'll talk about Kyle, a good friend Kyle, the intern, and what has become of him. All right, so we were talking about unemployment, how to spend it, what to do, what not to do, et cetera, so on and so forth. We never did get Gary Baumgartner. I don't know what the hell happened to him, so he's sleeping it off somewhere. So we'll talk about enjoying your unemployment. We'll try to get to the FAQ, and we'll do this at top five bad songs that I just happened to find sitting in a box of crap that I took home when Intercom ill-advisedly fired us last April 21st. So we'll get to that. Have you guys seen that huge pile of pastries in the kitchen, though?
Yes.
There's a massive... Yes. And I see it again. It's my weak spot. It's like they're doing it just to screw with me. It's a huge pile of cinnamon rolls in there. All right. Hey, did you see what I found? This is as a side note. Did you see what I got in the mail today? Or what I found today? It's this dues refund from the union over at the Intercom building.
Oh, the IBEW?
$73.72. There you go. International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers.
How about that?
Thanks. So I'd like... Thank you. Because they did so much for me. And I'd like to say that that's another group of people. I'd like to thank them for all the help they gave me when I was unemployed. All the reaching out they did to try to get a hold of me, trying to make sure that I was...
They didn't have any apprenticeships and electricians?
No, they didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, they did not. Rick, this email says, get your lazy ass to Staples or the Office Depot and buy a goddamn stool. Okay, they don't make stools that are high enough. I've been making this point. You could get one of those swivel stools to go up and down. No, it doesn't work that way. This countertop is unbelievably large. There's just no way. Rick, one time when I was doing this thing, I taped myself to listen to it later, but I had to re-record it when I had something else to do. Just thought you'd like to know. Mike
okay,
in Portland.
Fine.
Thank you. Rick, your show is the shining light. These are emails. Rick, your show is the shining light through the murky lonesomeness that is Portland radio. So glad you're back. However, there's one thing that seems to be missing so far, the Malm song. And I don't know if you're doing any F-mats, but F-mat with 20,000 coffee cups, Chris. Now, the F-mats will probably stay. They will probably stay in the past. Just because Matt, first of all, Matt's not even here. Matt hadn't been on the show for like 2 years anyway. So, God love Matt Peterson, but he's still in a...
And he works with the company that fired us.
That's true. Yeah. That's true, traitor. Quisling. So, yeah, so he's not dead to us, but he's sort of in a coma to us. So there you go, we've got that. All right, let's go check in with Tim Riley. He's at the City Desk.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the City Desk Newsbeat. 2 p.m. edition, a little after that, Tim Riley reporting. Dan Brown told the High Court that the accusations he had stolen the ideas for his best-selling novel, The Da Vinci Code, were, quote, completely fanciful, unquote. A reclusive millionaire writer took the witness stand for the first time at a court in London, where his publisher, Random House, is being sued over alleged copyright infringement. Authors Michael Bangert and Richard Lee claim Mr. Brown appropriated the architecture of the nonfiction book The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail, published in 1982.
Appropriated the architecture. Is that what they call that now?
Yes.
All right.
About half of the Corpse Watch. The corpse watch.
Oh, here's your corpse watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yep, it's one of our favorite segments.
It's that we'll be opening any second now. Mm-hmm. We'll be getting and playing for the enjoyment of everyone.
All right, well, let's start without it.
Do we have... We had this Da Vinci Code sound, though. I had sound on the Da Vinci Code story.
Let me see here.
Oh, there it is.
That was the... Oh, yes, we do. Wait a minute. Let's do the Da Vinci
Code. Let's do this Da Vinci Code sound, and then we'll do the corpse watch. I've got the sound.
Merv Kennedy, reporter for The Guardian, says many wondered how author Dan Brown could fare being center stage at the trial. It appears he's doing better than the plaintiff.
The book itself has been produced in court, and it's really not standing up to the trial process at all well. The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail copy, it's starting to fall to pieces.
I don't even know what she's saying, but that accent just makes everything sound authoritative. Yeah. By the way, I'd like to note that one of the things I did do during my unemployment is I renewed my library card. Because you like when you're unemployed, you start to realize how expensive things are, and you turn into your dad. Right, with the whole $25 for shoes? Are you kidding me? You know, you can get shoes for $3. It's like the William Temple House?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the place you go when you have no money? Like when my mom would take me to Goodwill to buy me stuff for school, you know, and she's like, and it's to that totally, you know, you're not, it's not a fashion show. You're going to learn. Wear these and like it, you know, and it's like some skeezy shoes from 1972. And so, like, I went to buy some book. I forget what it was. And it's like I went to buy some hardcover. It was like $35. It's easy. Like, screw that. So I went to the library, and the library now has this great thing where you can, it's like Netflix. You can just stack up books, and they'll just send them to you as they come in. And so I read the Da Vinci Code, or I tried to, because everybody, it was one of those pop culture things, and I wanted to be up to speed. I wanted to be the only guy who hadn't read. Has anybody here read the Da Vinci Code?
No.
Oh, crap. It's the worst thing I've ever
read. Really?
It was like hitting myself in the head with a wet piece of chicken. I mean, it was just like trying so hard. You know what I mean? It wasn't even like being hit with a mallet. It was just like being hit in the face repeatedly with something soft and squishy and malleable and sort of wet that makes a slapping sound and that reeks ever so slightly of decayed flesh. It was terrible. It was so badly written. And I got about 100... And I hate to not read something all the way through because I don't want to be the guy who criticizes something, and then they go, well, did you read it? And I go, I read part of it. Like, I hate to be that guy, because we all hate that guy. The guy who hates the band he hasn't heard, hates the movie he hasn't seen. I tried, man. I gave it like 3 days of slogging my way through that dreck, and I just couldn't. And I'm not a snob about fiction. I read all kinds of crap. It was terrible. It's among the worst written things I've ever experienced.
I did try to read it.
Oh.
After the 12th page, I brought it back.
Seriously, it was just like I was slamming my junk in a vise over and over again. I couldn't take it.
Let's talk to Maeve Kennedy again for The Guardian. She has the impression this may be a big win for Dan Brown.
Dan Brown's the writer.
Dan Brown's the writer.
Maeve?
The book itself has been produced in court, and it's really not standing up to the trial process at all well. The Holy Blood and the Holy Grail copy, it's starting to fall to pieces.
Is that the same soundbite we just... I don't care. I'm done.
It doesn't matter.
I'm done.
Let's move on to the next item.
Don't care.
Time for the corpse watch at long last.
Here's your corpse watch.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet at night I'm sitting alone. I'm digging up bones.
Okay, gather kids around the wireless for this explicitly written story. A family-owned funeral home may have taken cash kickbacks to look the other way when a body parts ring plundered corpses, including those of...
Plundered. Plundered is the best word there. Because plundered is what you do. They only talk about plundering land or plundering an island or something.
This included the corpse of Masterpiece Theater host and BBC host Alistair Cook, who for more than 50 years did the show called Letter from America, in which he praised the American way of life to the folks back home.
The Americans came and stripped out his kidneys the minute he was dead. So someone right now who probably doesn't know where it came from is walking around with like Alistair Cook's veins or something implanted in them.
Officials said in recent interviews that investigators were targeting New York Mortuary Service Incorporated, the Manhattan funeral home that handled Cook's body after he died. They suspect the business conspired with the alleged ringleader, a former oral surgeon named Michael Mastriano, by alerting him they had a body that they could cut up without anybody knowing it.
You have to have kind of a special relationship with a guy for him to even let you know about that. For him to go, it's like when I was in Salt Lake and I went to the porn store there, And it's like they don't sell any real porn in Salt Lake. It's all like cable, it's all like softcore. And so, you know, and somebody told me that they didn't sell any real porn. And I didn't believe them. Anyway, so I go in and I'm like, oh, I'll buy a porn, and I buy whatever it's called, some softcore porn. And the guy, like this Iraqi guy, gives me the porn and he winks at me and he's all like, if you want, I have the good stuff in the back room, you know? And it's totally like he saw something about me that implied that I would go in the back room to look at the good stuff. I can't imagine what relationship you have with the guy. You know, we're like, you're buying whatever, like you're buying lawn equipment or something from it. He's like, this, I have a sphincter in the back I can sell you, barely used, you know? It's like, I have ribs. You want rib cage? I get you rib cage.
So, let's see, what are they dealing here? The tissue, typically skin, bone, and tendons.
Oh, tendons, that's an unpleasant word.
Sold in a variety of common procedures like dental implants and hip replacements. And in New Hampshire, by the way, the state has set up a hotline for those of you who think you may have received stolen bones or tissue. The number is, call it now if you want, 271-4496. That's 271-4496. Operators are standing by. Please hold. Your call is very important to us.
You just think you received stolen bones.
I guess there's a money-back guarantee, if not the light.
Am I just sleep-deprived, or is that... Everything's hilarious to me today. If you think you've received stolen bones, like, what do you care? If they're holding your legs up, what do you care where they came from, stolen or not? It's like, did you read... This is probably a different story.
I mean, you won't be prosecuted.
You will not... For your possession of stolen bones. See, here's why we weren't good enough to get the Corolla slot, reason number 50. I should start a list, because... Because if I was good enough to get the Corolla slot, I would just be calling that hotline right now with like a fake, like calling myself like Huge Ass or something. And I'm calling because I have a stolen bone, you know, and that would be a bit that we do for like 20 minutes. But I don't know if this is, hold on.
Right. Oh, by the way, if you did get Alistair Cook's bones, they're younger than you thought they were. Even though he was listed as dying at 95, he was actually only 85. So he was younger than Mike Wallace. Excellent. He was still alive.
Thank you.
He still has all his bones. Next.
No, I'm just trying to get my composure here.
I understand.
All I'm saying is, mm-hmm. I don't know whether this is part and parcel of the same story or not, but there was a story that came out about 3 weeks ago. Because I'm sure that the three of us, we've all had moments, and I know you all out there, the people, the listeners, I know that you guys have probably gotten a ton of emails that are like, perfect story for you guys, I wish you were on the air, or I wish you were on the air to talk about this. And I didn't have a lot of those moments for a long time, but eventually I started getting these things where I would read the news and I'd tell Lyra, like, hey, I wish I was on the air so I could talk about, you know, and she really started pushing me. She's like, you've got to find a job, because I would just be standing, like she would be on the sofa trying to watch American Idol or something, and I'm standing at the front of the living room. And not even realizing I'm doing it. I'm standing in the living room, like she's at the back of the room, and I'm standing in front of the living room going, you know, doing little riffs, like doing like whole bits, and not even realizing that I'm doing radio bits. And they were just, and they were all terrible, of course, but I mean, anyway, but there was a story a couple weeks ago about some place where they've been stealing the bones out of corpses and then replacing it with PVC piping. And so they didn't realize it. They found out all these bones had been stolen, and they went and dug up a bunch of people's loved ones, and yet their skeletons had totally been replaced with like PVC piping from the Home Depot, which is, I mean, and I don't know if it's part of this story, but I mean, there's just something there, and I don't know why it's so funny, but it is. So anyway, so there you go. There's your corpse watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones.
I remember my big moment. Remember when I found that Darwin watch? It was like a few months ago. I bet the uncle who was trying to scare his nephew from, he had the hiccups.
Oh, yeah. And he pulled out a gun and shot him.
Yeah, and then was so devastated about that he shot himself.
Shot himself. Mm-hmm. That's one of those things we haven't had since we came back. We haven't had a Darwin watch.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'll tell you what. Let's, so we don't get so incredibly behind. Let's go ahead and go to a break. Now, I have a little sound that we're playing to break here. So I'm going to play that. Who is this from? Tim, this thing you sent me yesterday.
This is from listener Steven.
Steven, is that who this is from?
Yeah.
I want to make sure. I always feel bad when I misidentify people.
Steven.
So Steven sent us this. We'll play this into the break. And he said it's no longer accurate. Is that true?
No, he said it's accurate, but he would like some suggestions on new lyrics.
Okay, so this is from... this, I got to tell you, man, one of the reasons that I'm glad that we're coming back is there's been so many things. Like, when I know the Dry County Crooks put out that new record. That, I mean, it's been like a November, I think, it was when they put it out. It's Wrong Side of the Tracks. It's a great record. And I felt so terrible that I wasn't on the air to promote, you know, to talk about that Dry County Crooks record because I'm their biggest fan. I'm a huge fan of those guys. They did a song for Bigger Than Jesus. It was a great, you know, great band, great record. And there's all this music I wasn't able to talk about because it's still nobody doing anything local. I mean, really. I mean, not to any appreciable degree. So there's all this stuff that I regretted. And you can tell that because, like, when we came back on Monday, we had that song We're Back by our good friend Jerris Minsky and his pal Scooter. I've already got these songs coming in. So I got to create on my website because I got a request for that We're Back song almost immediately. I got to create on my website a section for bands. Because we get a lot of songs that people send in, which is incredibly flattering, songs about the show. I mean, whatever, The Low did like two, and we had the Dry County Crooks who did their version of the Snuffwatch, which I've lost somewhere. I have no idea where that even went to. We had this song about Tim Riley. We have the We're Back. I know we got a song about Jolie sent to us at some point. So we have a lot of bands out there and the people who record and write and whatever songs about the show, which is great. So I gotta put up a section on the website for that. So we got this from Steven. So we'll go ahead and we'll let this play us out, as they say. And then when we come back, we'll go through my box of crap, my unemployment box, the box of stuff I took home from Intercom. And then we'll do the top five, and we'll have more from the City Desk at 2:30. So this is from listener Steven. This song is called Tim Riley Is My Hero, right here on the Rick Emerson Show.